within the last generation. Please.
Excerpt number 23 from Rabash, what it means that the good inclination and the bad inclination guard a person in the work. When a person wants to walk on the path of achieving dvikut with the Creator and do all his work for the sake of the Creator, meaning to bestow contentment upon his Maker, and not for his own sake, as it is against human nature, who was created with the will to receive for his own sake, and all of man's work is that he is told that he will not obtain this by his own strength, but only the Creator can give him this power called desire to bestow. And a person should only prepare the kli to receive this power called second nature. It follows that specifically through the evil inclination, which grows within him to its completion, a person sees his real deficiency, that he is unable to obtain the desire to bestow by himself. This brings him to a state where the Creator gives him the desire to bestow.
נמצא שאין היצר טוב בין היצר הרע מוליכים את האדם.
Thus both the good inclination and the evil inclination lead a person to achieve the goal of equivalence of form called דבקות with the Creator.
ציטוט 24.
Also working on the faith that it's truly like that. Quote number 24 from what it means in the work that if the good grows, so the grows the bad. In the beginning of the work, during the ibul, meaning when a person begins to shift from the work of the general public to the work of individuals, the bad immediately begins to appear in him. However, it is not so apparent. Yet when he begins to ascend in the work and begins to grow, as it is written, the boys grew to the extent and order of the growth, so grows the evil. According to the measure of the good that he does, so grows the measure of the evil in him. As was said, so he will be half guilty, half innocent. Now we can understand what Rashi interpreted and explained. Another interpretation, struggling with each other and quarreling about the inheritance of two worlds. We should understand for what purpose there needs to be a quarrel between them. It is, as our sages said, Rabbi Levi said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. Rashi explains that he would wage war against the evil inclination. We need to understand what is the purpose of this war. Would it not be better if a person saw that the bad in him did not awaken? Why does he need to awaken it and fight it? It would be better if he did not risk himself, for he might not be able to defeat it. As our sages said, one must not put oneself in danger. In the work, when we want to achieve bestowal, we must say that when we perform mitzvot or engage in Torah, that we want to do everything with the aim to bestow. This is called vexing the good inclination over the evil inclination. Since when a person says to his body, we must work for the sake of the Creator and not for your own sake, the body immediately becomes angry and resists with all its might. It tells him, you can do anything, but for the sake of the Creator and not for our own sake. This is out of the question. It follows that if he does not vex it, he will never be able to achieve the truth.
The stage of preparation and different things are disclosed.
Quote number 25,
Bala Sulam, Shemati 121, she is like merchant ships. In the verse, she is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her bread from afar. When one demands and insists that she is all mine, that all the desires will be dedicated to the Creator, the Sitra Acha awakens against him and claims, she is all mine, too. And then there is trade-off. a trade-off, or bargaining, means that one wants to buy a certain object and the buyer and seller debate its worth, meaning each of them claims that he is right. And here the body examines to whom it is worthwhile to listen, to the receiver or to the giving force. Both clearly argue, she is all mine. And since one sees one's own lowliness, that in him too there are sparks that do not agree to observe the Torah and commandments, even as a dot on the iota, but that the whole body argues, she is all mine, then she bringeth her bread from afar. This means that from the removals, when one sees how far one is removed from the Creator and regrets it, and asks the Creator to bring him closer, then she bringeth her bread. Bread means faith. In that state, one is awarded with permanent faith, since God hath made it so that men should fear before him. This means that all the removals that one feels were brought to him by the Creator, so he would have the need to assume the fear of heaven. This is the meaning of that man doth not live by bread only, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. This means that the life of Kedusha, of sanctity, within one does not come specifically from drawing closer, from entrances, that is, admissions into Kedusha, but also from the exits, from the removals. This is so because through the dressing of the Sitra Acha in one's body, where it claims, she is all mine, with the just argument, one is awarded permanent faith by overcoming these states. This means that one should unite everything with the Creator. That is, that even the exits come from Him. And when he is rewarded, he sees that both the exits and the entrances were all from Him.
Next.
Excerpt 26, Shamati Baal Sulam. Shamati 36, what are the three bodies in man? It is written, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Prior to the sin of the tree of knowledge, sustenance was not dependent on the bread. That is, there was no need to extend light and sustenance, but it illuminated. However, after the sin, when Adam Rishon has been affixed to the serpent's body, the life had been tied in with the bread, meaning with the nourishment, that one must always draw anew. And if they are not given nourishment, they die. And this became a great correction in order to be saved from those two bodies. Thus, one must try with all of one's might not to think thoughts that concern them. And perhaps, this is what our sages said, thoughts of transgression are harsher than a transgression, because thoughts are their nourishment. In other words, they receive sustenance from the thoughts one thinks for them. Hence, one must think only for the inner body, for it is a clothing for the soul of Kedusha. That means that one should think thoughts that are after one's skin, meaning after the body's skin. That is called outside one's body, meaning outside of one's own benefit. But rather only thoughts for benefiting others, and this is called after one's skin. This is so because after one's skin, there is no grip for the klipot, the shells. For the klipot hold only that which is within one's skin, meaning that which belongs to one's body and not outside one's body, which is called outside one's skin. That means that they possess anything that comes within the clothing of the body, and they cannot hold anything that is not clothed within the body. And when one keeps thinking thoughts which are beyond his skin, he is awarded with, as it is written, and after my skin they shall make it, and from my flesh I shall witness the Creator. This is the aspect of the Holy Divinity, which is after one's skin. Nakfu, meaning after it was corrected, to stand beyond one's skin. And then one is awarded with the aspect of, from my flesh I shall witness the Creator, meaning that divinity comes clothed in the internality of the goof, of the body. And this is precisely when one agrees to work after one's skin, meaning without clothing. However, the wicked, who want to work precisely in the time where there are clothings within the body, which is called within the skin, then it is written, and they shall die without wisdom. For then they have no clothing, and they are not awarded with anything. However, the righteous, they are awarded with clothing in the
27.
Excerpt 27, Rabash, Volume 2, Article 10. What does it mean that the ladder is diagonal in the work? The two lines are needed, for by both we achieve the middle line, for there cannot be a middle line unless there are two lines before it. Therefore, when there is dispute, it can be said that the third one comes and decides between them and makes peace. But if there is no dispute, there is no need to make peace. That is, if we want to have peace, We must first produce a dispute, or there is no room for peace. Yet the question is, why do we need peace? It would be better, so we understand, if there was no dispute at all and no need for peace. This is common sense. The answer is that since we have these two opposites in our nature, it follows that this dispute is the reality, for nature has made us this way. Meaning that from the perspective of the purpose of creation, we have a nature that the Creator gave a desire to receive delight and pleasure. And from the perspective of the correction of creation, we must go in the opposite direction, namely to bestow, like the Creator. As He is merciful, so you be merciful. It follows that these two extremes are within us. And what we say is that a dispute is required. As our sages said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. As Rashi interpreted, he should make war with it. This means that one should reveal the evil within him. He does not produce evil through the dispute. Rather, the evil is within us and concealed. And if the light of holiness enters there, the will to receive in us promptly awakens and receives everything for itself. This will immediately go to the side of impurity and the shells. For this reason, we must wage war, by which the evil will come out of its hiding and fight with the good inclination. It follows that specifically through war it becomes revealed, since it wants to fight with the good inclination. When it shows its real face, the person sees what a high mountain it is and realizes that the only way is to ask the Creator to help him subdue the evil and to be able to work only with the aim to bestow.
שאלות